Boston fans, this is what you've been waiting for.
Thomas, in the paint, tries to spin it up and down.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Into Crowder, takes it. Got it! 8/10 of a second to go!
So what are you waiting for? Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
What happened here? Marcus Smart at the buzzer!
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Bring them up, Boston Celtics. Do it again. Defeating the New York Knicks tonight at the TD Garden, 100-91. I'm your host, Cal Lee, and this is CLNS post-game show. Alongside of me, I got my man. We love doing it on our own podcast, the Baseline NBA podcast. And, of course, it's a joy to be able to have my right-hand man, Brother PNC, Mr. Warren Shaw, who is going to help us co-host tonight's victorious movement by the Boston Celtics tonight as they lay hands on the New York Knicks. Warren, thanks for joining us, my brother.
Thanks for joining us. Are you crazy? I'm happy to be here. This is a great, great time for you to be back on CLNS Radio and discussing another Celtics W. That's four straight, as you alluded to at the beginning, man. Four straight W's.
This has been a wonderful birthday, a wonderful Christmas. And, I mean, listen, if we want to, we can just fast forward right into the New Year's right now and just call it for what it is, man. We're starting off 2016 with a bang. Four-win streak for the Boston Celtics, right?
Absolutely, man. This is, again, it's great to see them playing their brand of basketball and imposing their will. Again, there's a lot have been made and a lot can still be made about them not having a legitimate superstar and all of that, but they get it done on the defensive side of the basketball first. And guys like Jay Crowder and Isaiah Thomas really leading things. And, you know, we had a great, 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 I want to say guest appearance, if you will, because I feel like Marcus Smart hasn't been here for much of the season. But great to have him back in the fold, if you will, to see Marcus Smart get out there and play a couple minutes as well.
Well, you must have felt the spirit of Marcus Smart out there, you know, even if he wasn't on the basketball court, because the Celtics played excellent defense, forcing the New York Knicks to only shoot 37%. We'll get into a little bit of that, some more of the audacious statistics that the Celtics continue to post up defensively and even offensively in our show this evening as we give you the post-game show here on CLNS Radio, powered by Harry's Razors. Be sure to go to Harry's Razors and use the promo code Celtics. Also, we'll be opening up the FanDuel toll-free lines, 347-215-7771. We want to hear from you. A little bit later on, we'll also have our man Jared Weiss from the Garden Report. He'll be calling in via the Grandstand app for the Celtics Locker Room Report. We can't wait to get him on board to help us talk and give us a feel of what's going on inside that Celtics locker room as the Celtics lock up another victory at the hands of the New York Knicks, 100-91. This episode brought to you by lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free trial, visit lynda.com/CLNS. That's lynda.com/CLNS. Shaw, let's get right into the heart of it. Tonight, this is a Boston Celtics team that hosted the New York Knicks, who came fresh off of a heartbreaking loss out in Atlanta the night before. The Celtics also with an impressive victory the night before against the Charlotte Hornets. So both of them coming off of back-to-back games. And in this one, you know, you could have easily said the Celtics probably could have came out looking very sluggish, looking very slow. They did offensively. However, defensively, they definitely looked like they wanted to put the clamps down on the two top players for the New York Knicks, Carmelo Anthony and Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, they made it tough for those guys. I mean, they still got their shots off. Both those, they were the top two shot takers, if you will. Carmelo, I think, with 26 attempts and Porzingis with 13. And they made it tough on those guys, too. But, you know, one of the great stats, I think, that, you know, Chris Mannix had pointed out, too, where Boston was really able to capitalize on what New York doesn't do well is making sure they continue to be a jump shot shooting team. They didn't allow dribble penetration out there. Guys like Crowder and even Isaiah Thomas at times were playing really well on the perimeter. Turner too, when he came in the game. One of the things I noticed very, very, you know, apparently to me, was how well Boston rotated when New York tried to swing the ball in the perimeter and guarded a three-point line as well. They didn't overclose out on that where they could be able to, you know, run by the defender and get into the lane. They closed out with the right amount of speed and kept their arms up and made the New Yorks either have to make an extra pass or try to put it on the floor and not, you know, not get into a good enough space for them to run their offense. So Boston's defense is really the story of this game, as well as the New York's inability to get into the lane.
Yeah, you know, you bring up some excellent points when we're talking about how the Celtics cohesively seem to have been where they needed to be in order to cut off, one, the passing lanes, and also cut off the path that Carmelo Anthony loves to take when he gets isolated out of that triangle or that hybrid triangle offense that Derek Fisher has been implementing through the course of this season. Now, the one thing that I want to say that I was very impressed with was the defensive play of Jay Crowder. He just seemed to have been harassing Carmelo Anthony all night long. And even though Carmelo Anthony still wound up with 29 points tonight, it was a tough 29. And that's becoming the mantra of Jay Crowder. He is just becoming a hog when it comes to defending the better front court players, whether it be the 3-4 or maybe even the 5 position players against the opposition. He's really putting in work, and he's making guys take tough shots, which I think is really helping out guys like Jared Sullinger, Kelly Olynyk. I call him Kelly Olynyk, even though I should start calling him Kelly Olynyk with his offensive capabilities. But guys like those do not have to work hard and put themselves in early foul trouble if you just leave Crowder on an island and D up against one of the perimeter better perimeter players in the opposition.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Crowder here, because I think the more I watch him, and I know he's already become a Celtics fan favorite, I should say, rather. And he's definitely one of mine, for sure. I love the acquisition of him last year, and each game you really just see how important he is, both on offensively and defensively. He scored, I think, in double digits in 15 of the last 16 or 16 of the last 17, something like that. And then obviously the defense that he plays on a regular basis, always willing to play the guy's toughest wing player, no matter who that is. He had the highest plus minus tonight with a plus 12. Celtics won the game by 9, and it goes to show you that Jay Crowder has really improved his game. He hasn't taken the money and run, as some people like to say in the business. He's definitely worked hard to continue to be a defensive presence first, but has also worked on his offensive game as well. Shot 6 of 11 from the floor tonight, hit another three triples as well. I just love what he's doing for this team, and if I was having a call, I'd love to have Jay Crowder on no matter what.
It sounds like you know you want another Christmas gift, man. Don't be greedy. Don't be greedy, bro. Don't be greedy. It's all right. You know, it's funny. Like last year when the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl, everybody was talking about Revis Island. Well, you know what? The Boston Celtics are winning basketball games. And as far as I'm concerned, when I see Jay Crowder put up the kind of defensive effort that he puts up on a night-in, night-out basis, whoever he's taking on, if they don't show impressive numbers to me, I'm calling it Crowder's chowder. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Every time he locks them up, it's Crowder chowder. So, you know, listen, we need to start that movement. Celtics fans, we want to hear from you. 347-215-7771. What do you think about my new nickname for Crowder's defense whenever he puts one of the best players on the opposite team on an island and clams them up? I call it Crowder's chowder. So what do you think? Don't be hesitant. Also hit us up on the Twitter lines, my man Shaw at Shaw Sports NBA or me at Gameface Lee. And be sure to hit up CLNS Radio, at CLNS Radio, hashtag up CLNS Radio. And give us your thoughts tonight about what we saw from this Boston Celtics team. Is this team a fluke? The four-game win streak, is this a fluke? Is this an admiration? Or do we really need to start being serious? Have we been talking about this night in, night out, that this is a legitimate basketball team? Yeah, it's not a team that we keep talking about is going to win a championship, but if myself and Shaw, as we continue to watch this team gel and come together, they are playing competitive basketball, and they are definitely becoming a coming-of-age basketball team. And, yeah, maybe with a few moves or acquisitions in this 9-30 may improve the team, but I got to tell you, I like what I'm seeing right now, and if this is the team that we're going to work with throughout the rest of the season, I'm not going to be mad at Danny Ainge.
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to build on the chemistry, too. I mean, again, as I said in the outset, a lot's being made about them not having a true, legitimate superstar and all that, but this team has chemistry right now. They play, you know, lockdown defense, and they just kind of have an understanding of where everyone's going to be on the floor offensively and, more importantly, defensively. So making a move right now would probably not be in the best interest of the short-term goals of the Boston Celtics. And you're right, you may want to see this thing kind of play itself out, get another year under their belts as well, and then maybe Ainge makes a move over the summer, which everybody will be obviously trying to make a move during the, you know, the hot free agency and the rising cap over the summer. But nevertheless, this Boston Celtics team seems to be gelling right now. And again, you don't want to have too much fool's gold, if you will. You have four straight wins, no doubt about it. You know, that's something to be proud of. But you know, you're talking about the Timberwolves, the improved Hornets, the improved Pistons, and even an improved Knicks, if you will. But still a long way to go in this regular season, and we've got to see where Boston ends up.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there, Shaw. And, you know, one thing that I really liked is, you know, first of all, let's not shake the New York Knicks simply because they have a losing record. They have a decent basketball team right now, and they've clearly struck gold in Kristaps Porzingis. And I've nicknamed Kristaps KRS-1 because I just think that this guy is going to be a force. I think we're going to be talking about him, you know, like we talk about the greats, because his upside is just immense. And this was the kind of game where I was expecting Derek Fisher, actually, you know, be more like Doc, to really find a way to exploit the mismatch opportunities that he had. Now, as much as I know that he believes in Carmelo Anthony after a disappointing loss to the Atlanta Hawks the night before, the comments that were made that were rummaging throughout the social media waves with Carmelo Anthony's assessment of the basketball team after that loss, even though I understood and even the partial industry regarding Kristaps, I still felt that I was expecting Derek Fisher to figure out a way to get the ball to Kristaps more, establish him down on the low, and really set that front court defense that the Celtics put out on the court in early foul trouble. But what we saw very early is that the Celtics were imposing their will, pushing Carmelo, pushing Kristaps, who already have tired legs from the night before, further and further out of those blocks and asking them to shoot more perimeter J's than really establishing their presence down in the post.
Yeah, I mean, they did exactly what the Knicks do. They didn't allow them to change what I guess their whole mantra has been for the entire season. And, you know, they played physical defense on both of those guys. And I think you got to hit the head of the snakes, if you will, when it comes to Porzingis and Carmelo both. Again, Melo tried to do his thing at times, posting up and try to get to the lane as well, but Crowder would make sure that he was physical with him and made things tough on him. And then Porzingis, as you said, alluded to, probably did not get enough shots. For his skill level and for what he means to this New York team to be successful on a regular basis. 13 shots for a guy like for a guy like Porzingis, who, you know, is by all intents and purposes their second best player right now. He needs to be right up there in that 18 to 20 shot range, I think, along with Carmelo. But nevertheless, you know, they didn't do a good job of getting him the basketball, and maybe he passed up on a couple of shots at times as well too. He's not a great post player, so if you close out on him from the perimeter side, then he's really not going to do too much, from the offensive side of the basketball. But nevertheless, he's still a worldwide talent that, you know, I think is going to grow into his role on the New York Knicks and in the NBA. And, you know, like I said, you know, the Celtics just did a good job on both those guys this evening.
We'll be taking your calls on the FanDuel toll-free call line, 347-215-7771. CLNS Radio's call lines are powered by FanDuel. NBA season is in full swing. Play against your friends anytime on FanDuel. Head-to-head private leagues have never been easier. You think you know basketball? Prove it. Go to FanDuel.com. FanDuel is the best place to play one-day fantasy basketball. Pick a team of 9 players with just the players from tonight's game. Payouts will be in your account the next morning. No waiting to get paid. You can play every day or whenever you want. Leagues start at just $1. Finally, it can pay to be a fan. Right now, with a special offer for our listeners, enter a FanDuel league now. And if you don't win, FanDuel will refund your money any contest you want up to $10. Just make a deposit, choose your league, and if you don't win, you'll get that money right back into your FanDuel account. The only way to get this exclusive no-lose offer is to go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone, use the promo code Celtics. That's promo code Celtics. Anyone can play. Go to FanDuel.com and use the CLNS promo code Celtics. For free play, FanDuel.com. Every day is a new season at FanDuel. So, Shaw, one of the things that I definitely saw from tonight's basketball game, and listen, you know, I really wish that the NBA really started entertaining the idea of offering a defensive player of the week. I know we give all of these awards, player of the week because of some of the offensive numbers mainly, Player of the Month, Eastern Conference, Western Conference. But I got to tell you, it feels good when you're an Avery Bradley. And not only, and this is one thing, I've been very harsh on Avery Bradley for the most part. But tonight, I think, brings me full circle to part of why I appreciate his game and why I continue to want to appreciate his game, even though I would love to see him shoot the basketball with more confidence and aggressiveness. But tonight, he helps this Celtics team get off to a really good offensive start. He is just stroking the basketball in the early outset of this game. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it was more coaching or whatever, Brad Stevens goes away from getting the ball to Avery Bradley. You saw him for the better part of the second quarter on the bench. But yet when he does come in, for whatever minutes there were, and I'm sure that the Celtics could have used his shooting again, he was more focused on defense, taking on Aaron Aflalo, D'ing up against Jose Calderon, whoever it was on the switch outs, whatever it was, Avery Bradley's defensive focus was just as good as his offensive start. And to see that throughout the course of the game, even though he only still wound up with like 6 points, I just think it's an impressive effort by Avery Bradley to be able to help set the tone for the Celtics when they needed it offensively and to keep that defensive consistency that they needed to help keep the Knicks shoot a very low shooting percentage.
Well, that's a credit to Avery Bradley and the coach and to Coach Brad Stevens as well, because he's preaching to these guys, like, listen, if you don't have it going on one side of the basketball, that doesn't mean that you can't contribute on the other side. And Bradley, who we've all, you know, I've been kind of hard on him over the years as well, too, who I feel has regressed defensively. On a night like this where he didn't have everything going for him, he made sure that he stayed engaged by playing defense, kind of, which was his calling card to get into the league. And that's something that, again, is a credit to him and a credit to the coaching staff, you know, to make sure that these guys don't sulk and don't feel like they can't contribute if they don't have their offensive game going. So kudos to Bradley and what he was able to do. But, again, it just kind of speaks to the larger picture of the Celtics' mantra, if you will, because of their defensive mindset in general. They just don't want to get scored upon. And despite not having a true rim protector and shot blocker to protect the lane, they just don't give up a lot of points on a regular basis. And I think it was Gorman said that they had one of the stats tied with Orlando and I think Miami, whatever the case may be, you know, for our fewest games under 100 points or something like that. And, you know, the Knicks only shot 40-something% again as well, too. So great job, you know, by this Celtics team and then the overall chemistry that they have on the defense side of the basketball. And as you mentioned earlier, or alluded to directly to the point with Avery Bradley, making sure that he stayed engaged even though his offense wasn't going this evening.
Yeah, impressive stuff. And again, this is what led the Celtics to winning tonight, 100-91. Again, impressive victory, upping it to a 4-game win streak for the Boston Celtics. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. Thanks for calling in to the CLNS postgame show caller. Let us know how you feel about tonight's victory with the Boston Celtics.
Bruh, 20 minutes into the show, and no mention of my man Evan Turner, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists.
Oh, we
What's
want
going
you
on
to do
here?
That.
Where's the appreciation? We can make all these excuses for Avery Bradley's 6 points in the game and how inconsistent he may be, but Evan Turner, Mr. Inconsistent, can't even get a mention the one time he actually plays a good game. I'm disappointed in y'all. It's so disrespectful.
Oh, come on, man. We wanted you to do that. We know you're Evan's shot caller right now. We're rolling out the red carpet for you to tell us how good Evan Turner's game is. You know me. I've been on the ET train very long time. Okay, everybody's saying ET go home, but we want ET to stay if he's going to produce like he's producing this year, right?
Right. I agree. Listen, Evan Turner. And I love Isaiah Thomas's game, and I mean he's obviously the dude, the guy you want playing most of the game. He's a hard push, you know, point guard. He runs that offense and he runs it straight in. And I was surprised at how quickly the Knicks just gave up pursuit when Isaiah Thomas would run the ball down. But Evan Turner has the best handles and the best moves to the basket that he can actually. I mean, Isaiah finishes pretty well. He just has those moves. He has the best cross. He has the best handles. He gets to the hoop. Some of the moves that I've seen that I saw him make tonight when he was on tonight were incredible. He had some reverse, you know, layups. He was really getting into it. He was hitting his jumper, that crazy ugly shot that he has with that ugly hitch that's just too early a release or whatever it is. He just is not pretty. Sometimes his moves are pretty. His shot isn't. He even hit a three tonight, 1 for 1 from three. I think that's 100%. What does that make him, 16% on the season? But yeah, he
probably
still hit one tonight. But I mean Evan Turner. I mean people talk about inconsistency, and they'll come up with reasons for why their favorite player, and some people really like Avery Bradley. I personally don't. I have a theory as for why Avery Bradley will score so many points in bunches and then kind of peter out later on in the game. Maybe I'll mention my theory later. But, I mean, the Celtics fans have so many excuses, you know, for why their favorite player is inconsistent and doesn't put up points or whatever, you know, or doesn't do this night in and night, doesn't do the same thing night in and night out. But and Evan Turner gets the worst of that, I think. But what they don't realize is, that's what this team is. We have guys like, we don't have a name superstar, but we have guys like Jay Crowder, who actually, in my opinion, is actually really consistent and has been really consistent in this four-game win streak that we've had. I mean, averaging something close to 20 and 10. You know, he's after tonight, maybe not quite that close, but going into tonight, he was averaging 20 and 10. And Isaiah Thomas is consistent, but he's also a chucker. He shot 6 for 18. That's 30%. And one for 5 from 3. So, I mean, give anybody that many shots, and they might score, you know, 21 points or whatever it is. But Evan Turner, that's what the team is. All these inconsistent, everyone wants to make excuses, but that's what the team is. And Evan Turner doesn't always fill up the box score. He's not always going to, you know, put up these gaudy numbers like he did tonight. But when you ask him to do something, and the opportunity is right, because Brad Stevens' game plan, he's not going to have the exact same game plan. Okay, Isaiah Thomas, you go in there and you do this, and you go, every single game he's going to say, no, I like this matchup, I'm going to work it. And Evan Turner got the green light tonight to go ahead and, you know, take his man off the dribble. And he had an excellent game. People need to stop, you know, people need to chill with this inconsistency, because when you have a team that's full of basically what they said before the season, you know, everybody's, you know, sixth best player, you know, everybody's sixth man. You know, but I think Isaiah Thomas has proven he's more than that. He's getting votes in the All-Star balloting. By the way, if you go on Twitter or Facebook or something, you say and you write Isaiah Thomas hashtag NBA vote, somehow that supposedly gets to the NBA people for the NBA vote. So if you want to, you know, get Isaiah Thomas in there. But these players, night in and night out, they do what they have to do. Jerebko has sucked ass the entire season, but when we needed him the other night, last night against Detroit, he came in and he hit that clutch shot. You know what I mean? Evan Turner has had inconsistent games because he's not asked to be the scorer every night, but he will put something in the box score every night, whether it's an assist or a rebound or something else like that. He'll put something in there. But the fact that he's not scoring every single night, it's not because he is a little bit inconsistent, it's partially him, but it's also the fact that Brad Stevens has all these different players that have all these different skill sets, and Brad Stevens, more than any other coach in the league, and this is a testament to him, not a knock on Evan Turner, that he game plans for this, and he finds the matchups, and you get games like this out of Evan Turner when he finds those matchups and when he finds, you know, the what's working, and lets Evan Turner, you know, run loose with the ball or do what Evan Turner needs to do. And I think that's the beauty of this team, and I think that's the strength of this team, really. I mean, the team has no real leader. We don't have I think Jay Crowder's becoming the leader in the locker room and on the court. But, I mean, really the face of the team is Brad Stevens. And the fact that he can take these guys that were pretty much castaways. When we traded Rondo, everybody took that as like, well, we're fire sale on Rondo. And I don't even know if Ainge saw what was going to come out of Jay Crowder. But I mean, who would take, you know, who would take that trade back now, given what Jay Crowder has become? That's the beauty of this team. And I don't know if Jay Crowder would have been that if it weren't for Brad Stevens. I know Evan Turner wouldn't be what he is now, as maligned as he may be by some Celtics fans for his inconsistency, but I don't know if Evan Turner would have had the season he had last season if it wasn't for Brad Stevens being as brilliant a coach as he is. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if, you know, Isaiah Thomas wouldn't be getting All-Star votes if it wasn't for Brad Stevens putting him in a position to be kind of the A1 guy, you know, when it comes to scoring, the spark plug, the guy that runs those things. And, you know, on top of that, Kelly Olynyk, I mean, he's added a completely extra dimension to his game this season, and I think that's, you know, Brad Stevens knowing how to coach. I mean, I think there was a story, didn't Brad Stevens recruit Olynyk out of college or something like that to get him to go to Butler, wherever it was? It's like, he's getting the best out of his players. He's putting them in positions where their weaknesses are minimized, they're compensated for, like we saw last season when there was no real ball handler. They didn't trust Marcus Smart to handle the ball, and Avery Bradley can't handle the ball, so Evan Turner played point forward. That's an adjustment, and he, you know, minimized the lack of, you know, ball handling in the backcourt by using a frontcourt player like Evan. And he maximizes their potential to score and their ability to score and puts them in those positions and uses matchups, uses that game planning. And that's the beauty of this team. Brad Stevens is the face
real
of the
quick,
team.
Real quick, caller, I have a real quick,
yes,
quick question to ask you as you were bringing this up. So let me ask you this question. Who do you think should be the Celtic all-star? And I'm not talking about this from the perspective of the NBA fan. I'm talking strictly within the Celtic locker room. In other words, who right now do you consider is a Celtic MVP that's got them to this point?
I mean, as much as I think that, you know, Isaiah was an added spark when we got him in that trade, last year, I mean, it's Jay Crowder that I think, you know what I mean, like, has that emotion, that has that ruggedness, that brings that, you know. Jay Crowder is, I think, defensively where Avery Bradley was in 2012, you know what I mean? But he also has kind of like that little element of Kevin Garnett to him, you know what I mean? He's not quite as loud, not as much in your face to other players, but he has that intensity, he has that thing. And he's a unique player. He's one of those players kind of like, why isn't he playing tight end in the NFL? You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't – when he puts his head down and he wants to, you know, barrel roll into the hoop and he does that, you know, little scoop under, you know, layup and goes flying down, you know, through the first, you know, two or three rows, you know, and into the cameraman and stuff. Against Detroit last night, somebody tried to take a charge against him and got, I don't know if it was a knee or just the chest or something, and gave Crowder the and one. I would not want to be that person because he's a different type of athlete. Not as explosive, maybe, not, you know, quite as like springy, agile, but he's sturdy and durable, and he brings the intensity, and he plays with that intensity. He puts his body on the line. He trusts his body that it's, you know, it's a different type of NBA body. He's pretty swole, and he puts his body on the line. He goes out there, and he's intense. I think it's got to be Jay Crowder. The things that I have no insight into the, you know, the Celtics locker room. I'm, you know, just a fan, whatever. But I mean, for the things that I, you know, I do read frequently, the, you know, the blogs and the articles and the actual sports media like the Boston Globe and everything. It seems to be Jay Crowder. Like, Jay Crowder seems to kind of be that guy. You know what I mean? So that would be my choice. That seems to be the leaning that I'm getting. But Jay Crowder probably got to be. He's not going to be in the All-Star game. Maybe get a few votes. And Isaiah Thomas, maybe. It's a shame that Jeremy Lin is getting more votes than Isaiah Thomas, but there are more people in China than there are in Isaiah Thomas land, so I guess that explains the All-Star voting. But, Jay Crowder. I think Jay Crowder would be the Celtics, leader at this point, you know, locker room on-court leader.
All right, well, we appreciate the call, and Shaw, I want to throw it to you, my friend. Like, you know, he says Jay Crowder. I wouldn't be mad at that at all. You know, people obviously have Isaiah Thomas as the front balloter to represent the Boston Celtics. Is there anybody else that you think would be deserving of, as be considered as an MVP to this team and what they contribute? Or is this a testament, again, you know, to the way that Brad Stevens balances out this basketball team to contribute on so many different levels that it just makes it difficult for us to pinpoint one? Like, do we still need to get a better sampling size to be able to make that better determination?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the cop-out answer for sure. I think I definitely agree with what he had to say in terms of Crowder probably being the spiritual leader in the locker room and the guy that's probably most important to what they do on both sides of the basketball, especially with, again, the way that he's been able to score the last, you know, 15 to 20 games or so right now in Jay Crowder. But Isaiah is the guy who gets all the glamour and the glory, if you will, because of his offensive statistics, and will have the highest vote, you know, from any Celtics on this roster in terms of making the All-Star team. Again, Isaiah is not getting in, voted in as a starter by any stretch of the imagination. He has an outside chance of making it as a reserve. But if you're asking me who the team MVP is, I definitely would have to agree with Jay Crowder because of what he does on both sides of the basketball.
Yeah, definitely. And again, because not just the fact that he fills up the stats, you know, if you watched him tonight, Jay Crowder tonight picked and chose his spots. There were a few situations where apparently the ball stuck to one side of the court. Jay Crowder found a way to get the ball back to the weak side, was able to reposition the players for them to get open for their spots to take the shot that they needed to take. And when called upon, when realizing that he had the mismatch, he actually took it to the hole, was able to draw fouls. And this is what you want. That sometimes, you know, we talk about, Sean, on our show, we've talked about basketball IQ and how so important it is now becoming in today's game. You may not be the person that jumps out of the building. You may not be the person who shoots the lights out. You may not even be the person who plays Kawhi Leonard-style type defense. But if you are able to do certain things and play the game intelligently, get to the spot, anticipate a move, help out, communicate, do this, that, and the third, you seem to find yourself on the basketball court a whole lot more than people actually would have given you credit for maybe some 5-10 years ago. I think it's something that is developed in the game of Paul George, in the game of Kawhi Leonard, and luckily now for Celtics fans, because this was what we saw from the Dallas Mavericks and now has been inherited to our team, what we're now seeing from Jay Crowder and his basketball play. You're tuned into the CLNS postgame show. Boston Celtics, again, impressive victory, 100-91 over the New York Knicks. We have another caller calling in. Thank you for calling into the CLNS postgame show on the FanDuel toll-free call line. Let us know how you feel about tonight's victory, caller. Caller, are you there?
If you're addressing...
Hello, caller?
I'm awesome. Trying to be in listen-only mode, thank you.
Okay, he's just trying to listen in.
He's just trying to listen in. Hey, I'm all for it. Hopefully we're saying the right things, or else, you know, we don't want to lose our fans or our listeners at all. But
never.
With that being said, Sean, you know, listen, you know, one of the things that I've found interesting about this Celtics team, and that it's really has stood out more than anything, you know, really through the first, 32 games that they've played thus far. The one thing that's really stood out to me is their ability to find their best shooters. It's very easy for them to rely on Isaiah Thomas because the perception is Isaiah Thomas is their best play creator, right? He's able to create on situations where the defense is going to set him basically on an island with the clock running down. He's got to figure out a way to make a play, create a shot for himself. The expectation is we want Isaiah to be that guy. We want him to be our Kevin Durant, our Dirk Nowitzki, whatever. And just like offenses basically run it into the form of what we saw in many instances tonight, Isaiah Thomas' shot was not on. And our caller said that too. He's got to throw up a ton of shots before the statistics look reasonably well for a guy like Isaiah Thomas. With that being said, Brad Stevens knows that you got to flip the switch at some point, and you can't always rely on just that one guy shooting the basketball. Sometimes you got to get that ball to Jared Sullinger. You got to get that ball to Avery Bradley. Or, like in tonight, when Brad Stevens puts in Kelly Olynyk, it turns into Kelly O'Klinic, and he finds ways to get to the basket for a 7-footer who gets a guy like Kristaps Porzingis off his game. You know, tonight Kristaps had 3 blocks tonight. So it's not like he doesn't play defense. He plays some pretty good defense, plays some pretty good help defense. But when you got a true 7-footer like Olynyk, who can not only shoot the perimeter J, but also is willing to take the ball to the basket, that bodes very well for the Celtics in their ability to spread and also to force the Knicks defense to collapse because they have to honor Kelly Olynyk's game.
It's always been about Olynyk's confidence. And for me, you know, what I love to see when he's aggressive, when he's going out there and shooting the basketball and being decisive in it. You know, not when he's like, all right, well, should I jab step now? Should I fling it over here? Or am I waiting for the guy to cut? When he's decisive with what he wants to do, that's when he's at his best. And people who listen to this show have heard me say that time and time again. I just love when he's aggressive offensively. And you're right, he's been in a very good groove lately. Brad Stevenson seemed to put him in the right position. I think that part of that has to do with his mindset in general and his overall comfortability coming off the bench now. He knows, okay, listen, he doesn't have the pressure to be a starter, you know, and play some against some of the heavier guys at the five position. He can go out there and be effective and do what he does best in terms of shooting the basketball and even getting to the rim at times, you know, with some of the slower-footed guys that are sometimes placed on him. And, you know, from an overall standpoint, from the offense, you're 100% correct. They move the ball well enough where they can get open shots. And when they struggle, it's just because they haven't hit those shots. But they are getting good looks, you know, by as a result of the great ball movement and having capable passers on this team right now. One thing we haven't mentioned is the fact that David Lee is out with a back injury, so he didn't get to play tonight as well. But everybody has seemed to have accepted their role, no matter who they are, including a veteran like Lee, who definitely wants more playing time than he's getting right now, but he's not making us think about it. So kudos, again, to the coaching staff and to the overall players who understand what their roles are on this team. Olynyk, even Sullinger, who didn't shoot it well tonight, but you know he'll be back in the next one trying to, you know, give his all to make sure the Celtics get a victory.
Yeah, Boston Celtics, again, man, just impressive with the balanced attack that they've gotten, the contributions that they're getting from all of their players, from the starters down to the guys that are even coming off the bench, as tonight they defeat the New York Knicks 100-91. CLNS Radio is the best of written, spoken, and watched Boston sports coverage. For the best audio video, turn to CLNS Radio's YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/CLNSRadio. High-definition locker room interviews, full-length locker room interviews, the Garden Report, HD post-game report shot on the parquet floor of the TD Garden. Be sure to subscribe. Garden Report, CLNS YouTube. Go to www.youtube.com/CLNSRadio to get the best in the written, spoken, and watched Boston coverage. All sports in Boston. You want it, they've got it. Go to CLNS YouTube and check out the Garden Report. As we said before, our man Jared Weiss, we'll be calling in via the Grandstand app for the Celtics Locker Room Report, so we can't wait to hear from him and what he was able to snag from the recorded lines inside the Celtics Locker Room, again, with an impressive victory. Remember, the toll-free lines, the FanDuel toll-free lines are open. We want to hear from you, 347-215-7771. Caller, thanks for calling in to the FanDuel toll-free line, the CLNS Radio post-game show. Tell us what you think about tonight's victory with the Celtics defeating the New York Knicks.
Hey, y'all, I apologize for calling back again, but since the last caller didn't answer, I figured I'd take up his couple of seconds. Just two things real quick. One thing, start Kelly Olynyk over Jared Sullinger. He's severely outplaying Jared Sullinger. Let's give Kelly Olynyk that starter minutes. He's earned it. The only reason I don't think he has it is because I think Kelly Olynyk plays a little bit better with Evan Turner, who looks to pass a little bit more than he does with Isaiah Thomas. And the second thing right before I let you go is, why did Bill Belichick throw the game today? Was he trying to eliminate the Pittsburgh Steelers from the playoffs? That's all. See you later.
Thank you, caller. Thank you very much. I personally don't think that Belichick threw the game. Belichick is Belichick. I will say, though, that I feel bad for William Slater. You know, he's like, wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to get the? It's interesting. I was listening to all of these the media guys talking about how, oh, it's such a bad mistake, and you know clearly they were programmed to do this before the game and after the game. But if you really listen to the audio, the referee said, "So you want to kick?" I just feel bad for the refs. All year long in the NFL. I mean, they have to be like just the butt of all jokes, you know, just the worst situations and outcomes has to involve a referee. That's just me, my conspiracy theory there. But, hey, you know, it's all good. What do Patriots fans have to complain about? They're going to make it into the playoffs. Somehow, some way, Edelman and Amendola and all those guys are going to come back. Patriots are going to run the table, go to the Super Bowl, and then, you know, Roger Goodell's going to find another way to figure out a way to shame the Patriot dynasty of sorts. Shame them. But the other point, though, that I think we want to bring to the light and to the attention of our listeners here is, do you think, Shaw, and this is not controversy. I don't personally believe that Kelly Olynyk needs to be starting. And the only reason why I say that is because, Kelly Olynyk, to me, right now, is the kind of guy to help set the tone offensively for the Boston Celtics when Isaiah Thomas is on the basketball court. If Isaiah Thomas gets relegated back to coming off the bench, which I don't foresee happening, I think he's got way too much momentum riding him, being a starter, and the fact that the Celtics seem to get into a better groove offensively at the outset of games and having Marcus Smart on there. But as far as I'm concerned, you got a good thing with Bradley and Thomas. You work with that. And then I think having Kelly Olynyk come off part of that second unit with Marcus Smart, Kelly Olynyk seems to know how to get his offense going. And I think that as long as that's the way that Brad Stevens is setting up the rotation, you don't mess with that, because I think you need Kelly Olynyk more for his offense than you really do need to worry about what he can help do for this team defensively. And that's just, you know, my perspective. You know, it does make you wonder sometimes, would it be better to have Olynyk in the starting lineup over Jared Sullinger?
Well, I think Coach Stevens is playing by feel. And he's hinted at, he's already changed rotation a couple times this year. And I think right now with what they have going on, there's no reason to kind of change what's happening. That's why you don't see Marcus Smart being forced back into the starting lineup. Isaiah is probably going to be in this role for the foreseeable future right now, simply because it seems to be what's working. But if the Celtics hit another skid where they're unable to score and things just don't seem to be going their way, yeah, he's going to make those moves, as most coaches tend to do throughout the regular season. But I agree right now with Olynyk. He seems to be entrenched and playing really well in that bench role. He's getting his minutes, so it's not about, you know, about him needing to get more minutes on a regular basis. He's getting starters minutes for the most part. You know, almost playing 30 minutes a night, and I think right now he's doing very, very well with what he's been allotted. And again, like I said, I like to see them continue this good run that they're on right now. And you know, until that time, you know, I think there's not much to change in this situation, because if that's the case, you know, you're looking at a guy like Evan Turner. He's also playing very well off that bench role right now too. And we haven't really talked a lot about Marcus Smart and what he's been able to do, but I think no matter what happens, he's a guy who understands his role is really to be defense and maybe to shoot those threes every now and then. And I think he can play in either role that would and be comfortable and be effective in whatever minutes he's given. So again, this is one of those situations that we're in a time right now in the season where the depth seems to be a positive, you know, where we're having like talented guys, if you will, as the caller even said, you know, everybody's best six player, if you will, you know, that seems to be going well for them in this current stretch right now. You know, and there'll be a time where they're not able to score, or maybe they don't defend as well, and maybe we're singing a different tune. But for what it is right now, Boston needs to ride out with what they have.
Yeah, I agree with you. Do not rock the boat. You know, let everything fly the way it needs to, and then if adjustments need to be made, adjustments need to be made. Clearly, we have the interchangeable parts to be able to be a formidable basketball team, and I think that's the one good thing, is that it doesn't feel like any player doesn't know that they're going to have an opportunity to help contribute. I mean, look, tonight is a night where we didn't even have David Lee in this rotation, and he's actually been playing some pretty good basketball recently. And so when you look at the fact that they were still able to put in a Tyler Zeller, they even used R.J. Hunter tonight. You know, Marcus Smart is obviously on minutes restriction, but again, you look up and down that lineup, and there's complementary players, players that, you know, you don't see an extreme drop-off in the productivity of what the Celtics have been doing successfully to win these 18 basketball games. And for most other teams, you can clearly see where that drop-off takes place. Teams like the Memphis Grizzlies, who, you know, has always been a perennial playoff contending basketball team. We can clearly see where their depth is now becoming a hindrance. We look at teams like the Atlanta Hawks. You know, again, they seem to have good complementary pieces, but when their starting unit comes off the basketball court, there's no telling what kind of productivity they're getting. Teams like the Detroit Pistons, while they've looked impressive the beginning of this season, last night was a clear indication that when the Celtics had the advantage on the Detroit Pistons, they continued to keep the foot on the throttle and always allow the Pistons to have to play an uphill battle. And even with their best players in Reggie Jackson and in Andre Drummond, and even with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, they still were not able to get better contributions from other players when they had to sit on the bench or when they needed it at crunch time. And again, this is what, in my opinion, is going to bode well for the Celtics in the long term as they continue to approach past the All-Star break and going further and further as we start talking about the possibility of playoffs. This is why the Celtics right now is sitting second in the Atlantic Division, only two games behind a Toronto Raptors team, which has owned this division over the last 2 years, Shaw.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it keeps going back to my earlier point. It's you have to have the buy-in from the players and understanding of their roles and understanding what their limitations are and knowing that at some point they are going to get a shot as long as they continue to practice hard and, you know, don't hurt the team concept and hurt the team chemistry. And again, I have to credit Stevens for what he's been able to do and what he's been able to get this team to buy into on a regular basis, especially with the defensive first mentality. You hear a lot about team chemistry and how that plays into the NBA, and I think the Celtics are proof positive of what it really means. You know, we're a team of kind of quote-unquote underachievers, if you will, and, you know, maybe one or two has-beens, if you know, think about David Lee, you know, being a former All-Star in that mantra as well. What it means now, okay, everybody just understands what they need to do and how they can make this team successful. What can you do now in this moment, in this season, to make your team successful and to be a positive member of the organization? And I think that is what has keyed Boston to the success that we've seen so far early on the season. Again, four straight wins is nothing to sneeze at. The Eastern Conference is much improved, and it's great to see that they haven't fallen back to the pack, if you will, with the rest of the Eastern Conference. You know, as again, you know, because it could have been very easy for them to kind of fall behind some of the other teams. And we talked about it at the beginning of the season, even on our show, how Miami got better, Indiana got better, Orlando was better. We were wondering if Boston would kind of fall behind some of those teams as a result, but they're keeping pace right now to begin this early season, and a lot of it is because of that team concept.
Yeah, and listen, tonight was a divisional game. Division games are still considered important games. We can squash this about whether or not this is a rivalry or anything like that, because both of these teams are playing to improve, you know, where they want to be, not only through the course of this year, but moving forward. But tonight was an important basketball game, one for the Celtics to keep pace with the Raptors and for, you know, also for them to distance themselves from the New York Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Philadelphia 76ers, even though, you know, we don't need that much distance to distance ourselves. Sixers are doing that fine on their own. But the point that I'm making is that these are important basketball games that, you know, the Celtics could have easily just celebrated after getting a really great victory against a quality basketball team in the Detroit Pistons and overlooked the fact that tonight they're playing against a Knicks team that might be on tired legs, playing on fumes, after blowing a game that they probably could have won against the Atlanta Hawks, albeit I felt like the Atlanta Hawks is still a much better team than the New York Knicks, but that was a game where the New York Knicks really had the Atlanta Hawks on the ropes, and you can clearly see that the Knicks are the type of team where it is very hard for them to put things together for 48 minutes, and I don't know if it's more so on what the starters do, then when it happens is it trickles down for Derek Fisher having to reach into his bench. But tonight you clearly saw a team that once the Celtics started heating up, once they started turning up the heat, forcing turnovers, forcing bad shots, getting into a groove, finding open looks, Evan Turner breaking down the defense from almost half court all the way down to the paint, you can clearly see the discombobulated nature of the New York Knicks. Like, they almost felt like they really don't know what to do, how to handle it. You know, who do they go to, how to communicate in order to get the help defense flowing. And to me, that's the type of Celtics team that you want, is when they smell blood in the water, they attack. And I'm starting to see Brad Stevens and the aggressiveness and the way he wants his team to attack when they see a wounded team, like how the Knicks looked after the first half of this game.
Yeah, and then that starts with, I think, what we all believe, I think, even the mantra of the show thus far is to be the two biggest leaders on this team is Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder. On both sides of the basketball, for Crowder and Isaiah, obviously he likes to put pressure on the opposing team's defense on a regular basis. As you alluded to, he'd get out sometimes and the Knicks guys just wouldn't even chase after him, like, oh, he's too fast, we're not even going to make the attempt at that. You love to see that they have that mentality and understanding. Like, listen, I think it was Chris Mannix too saying in the broadcast as well that he heard Brad Stevens telling him, listen, we have them where we want them. Let's go ahead and finish this off here in the fourth quarter. And that's something that if you listen to Tommy all the time on the broadcast too, is like, you know, like, listen, let's put a foot on their throats right now. And you're seeing that you know, that killer mentality, if you will, that instinct that you need to be, that you need to have if you're going to be a competitive team in the Eastern Conference and in the NBA when it comes to playing playoff type basketball at a championship level. Again, not saying the Celtics are at that level yet, but you're starting to see some of the signs there that leads to that growth where you can be a team that's really competitive and a very, very tough out in the playoffs when it comes to that time in April.
And the time where the Boston Celtics get their bulldog defender, Marcus Smart, back on the basketball court, the Celtics, with limited minutes, still are able to put up an excellent defensive effort, forcing the Knicks to shoot a very paltry 37.1%, 21% from three, as the Celtics defeat the New York Knicks 100-91, upping their home record to 9-7. A four-game win streak as the Celtics go 18-13 for the season. Need the cheapest tickets to sporting events and concerts, whether it's events or games at Gillette, Fenway, or the Garden? Your answer is the TIQIQ app. We love this app because we can search the cheapest tickets for all events across the U.S., and it is easy to use. You can swipe on all of the upcoming games and concerts to receive updates and prices and see your seat before you even buy it. Head to the App Store and download for free. Simply search TIQIQ. That's TIQIQ. If you act now and use the code BOSTON, 10% off on all TN tickets listings. Once again, put in the code BOSTON and receive 10% off on all TN tickets listings. Shaw, man, like, what I love about tonight is, again, we talked about that collaborative effort, but I think tonight, you know, Celtics fans have been waiting and anticipating the return of Marcus Smart. And we knew that Marcus Smart was going to come in this game. He wasn't going to get thrown out there. And, you know, they're going to have like an uncapping of the of minutes for his play. They want to ease him back in. They realized that, you know, that and listen, this is Brad Stevens being smart. We've seen certain coaches overdo it. We see them, you know, push guys. And, you know, clearly they want to do too much. You know, Marcus Smart came in there. He maintained his aggressiveness. It wasn't too much more about his offense, more about his footwork and his ability to stay in front of his defender. What were your impressions tonight about Marcus Smart's return, and how big was this for the Celtics for tonight's basketball game?
Well, I mean, again, he's another spiritual leader for this team, especially on the defense side of the basketball. Bulldog, as you mentioned, on that side, and a guy who's not afraid to body anybody up. And I think he looked pretty well for the minutes he played. You know, it was only 13 minutes, night 2 of 6 from the floor, and actually had, you know, a -6 when it comes to the plus-minus rating. But, you know, he was doing what he needed to do, I think, in terms of trying to be a lockdown defender first and then worrying about his offense secondly. He looked a little heavy to me. You know, maybe it was just my TV. I have no idea. It looked like, you know, he hasn't been able to really to stay in the cardio shape that he probably needs to be. But he's a gamer, and he's going to get there. And I think, you know, having him back is more of a mental thing for the locker room more than anything else right now. And he can afford to kind of work his way back into the offensive side of things right now, especially because Isaiah has found an identity in that starting unit for right now. So Smart doesn't have to rush himself in any way. Just do what he can do for right now and let the game kind of come to him as he comes off the bench and earns his way back into the rotation.
Do you foresee that when Marcus Smart comes back into, you know, into the fold, so to speak, that the emphasis is going to be more about him continuing to play the kind of defense that he's playing, or are we going to see Brad Stevens figuring out a way to kind of guide him or get him into that offensive flow? You know, look, the Celtics at one point, when they had Marcus Smart before he suffered that injury, you know, was among one of the, you know, top five teams as far as scoring-wise, and they've been able to maintain that level. Whether or not the importance of it is predicated on Marcus Smart and his aggressive nature to attack the basket, to push the ball and everything like that. I'm just wondering how you see this playing out, Shaw, from an offensive perspective, because for me, I think it's more about the defense for Marcus Smart than it really is about the offense.
Yeah, I agree with you with that statement first and foremost, and I think it will be that way for, you know, for a little while for Smar as he continues to develop that offensive game. Listen, what I think we have established here with the Celtics team is that they are kind of a team that does it by committee on both sides of the basketball. Yes, they have a couple, again, a guy like Crowder is a leader defensively, Amir Johnson and Marcus Smart, they can do those things defensively, but especially from the offense side of things, they kind of just do it by committee, and, you know, they try to get people in the right positions to hit shots. And whoever's hot that night, they kind of keep that going with Isaiah Thomas, you know, primarily taking, you know, the leadership role offensively. But everybody else needs to kind of fall in line, if you will. And Smart's one of those guys who's going to get his shots, going to get his turns here and there. And some nights he may not get as many shots. Same thing with Evan Turner. Same thing with Jay Crowder, Amir Johnson, Sullinger, the whole, like, kind of down the line. Everybody will get a chance to shine, per se. I don't think you need to force that on anybody, least of all Marcus Smart, especially while he's trying to come back from an injury.
Yeah, definitely, man. I completely agree with you. Tonight, Boston Celtics shoot 42.4%. Not really impressive. The fact that they were able to get up 85 shots, though, against a much improved Knicks defense on the night of a back-to-back, I think was pretty good. We saw from the early going, Shaw, that a lot of those shots, you know, were not falling in place. A little bit too much of isolation basketball from time to time. But, you know, this team still was able to put together 18 assists. You know, again, another high number on the steals, 5 steals, 4 blocks tonight. You know, mirror image of a team that seemed to, when they couldn't get it going offensively, they were able to turn up the defense and was able to, you know, capitalize on some of those turnovers. The Celtics with 10 points off of those turnovers. 44 points in the paint tonight. You know, again, quality you know, makes from the basket, Jay Crowder, Jared Sullinger, you know, as far as, you know, just establishing to be able to get the kickouts, you know, Evan Turner. I mean, what a night tonight by Evan Turner, you know. And again, Shaw, when you have 4 or 5 dribble drive penetrators on your basketball team, it really keeps the opposing team's defense honest. And that added dimension, as our caller said before, you know, why he speaks volumes about Evan Turner. It's, again, I say this all the time, man. You cannot teach some of the things that Evan Turner is able to provide you with the kind of height and the kind of build that he brings. He is a mismatch. When his game is on point, he can basically be an equalizer for the Celtics team in certain game situations where they call upon somebody to get him a key basket.
Yeah, Turner just knows how to play the game. Again, he has the acumen, especially right now in that second union, to understand that, listen, when he's out there, he can go out there and be a playmaker. And I like the fact that he goes down into the post when necessary. He had like the smaller length or Galloway on him a couple of times. He took him down there. And then he was able to hit his shot and goes into his mid-range and gets the shots that he's able to make. He took one corner three tonight, made that. You know, I think they even said on the broadcast that, listen, he doesn't really like shooting those threes, but when he's wide open like that, he has to take it. And, again, I think he's just playing in a good groove in terms of understanding what his role needs to be when he comes into the game and deciding what Boston may need at that time. And sometimes it's not always about his scoring. Sometimes it will be about his ability to rebound at the guard position. Sometimes it will be about his ability to get others involved, because he does have a great passing ability and can create off of pick and roll, especially with guys like Olynyk out there. So I think Turner has been that Swiss Army knife, if you will, for the second unit, and he has found a great groove for what Boston needs to do to be successful as they make the run for the Eastern Conference.
Boston Celtics, again, with an impressive victory tonight, 100-91, putting the defensive clamps on obviously one of the best offensive players in the game in Carmelo Anthony, making it a tough night. He had to work for his. Kristaps Porzingis, one of the better up-and-coming rookies. If he's not in the conversation for Rookie of the Year commendation next to Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, clearly we're not watching basketball properly. Tonight, an impressive night by Kristaps Porzingis, a.k.a. KRS-One. Shaw, what impressed you tonight about seeing this rookie 7'3" phenom able to shoot the basketball, able to drive, he's pretty athletic for a guy of his size, moves around the floor very fluidly. I mean, the arrows are all pointing up that the Knicks have found a gem in this landmine of a draft.
Well, like I said, I like to toot my own horn, if you will, because I had the opportunity to speak with him, you know, before the draft, and just I knew immediately that this kid was different, and it wasn't just tough talk, if you will. He has a great understanding of the game. He's been watching it, and he has a great understanding of the history, if you will, in terms of other draft picks that he could be compared to, and not wanting to be the Andre Bunyanis, not wanting to be the Darko Milicic of the world. He wants to be Kristaps Porzingis, a guy who can be an all-star type player, and potentially maybe even a Hall of Famer if he continues on the same path. You know, Dirk is a guy he's looked up to, and he's tried to pattern some of his game after that. And Dirk even said, listen, he's further along at his age than I was. And I think that's a huge compliment about what Kristaps Porzingis is bringing to the NBA currently. And you're right, you said it 100% correctly. He's an agile big who can definitely get out there. And one of the things when I thought about when I was watching the game is, like, I can't wait, you know, for year two, year three, where he starts to be able to even develop. Again, I don't expect him to be Kevin Durant with the Rock, you know, dribbling through and dicing up the competition with the basketball. But when he is able to put the ball on the ground, even with more confidence than he has right now, and maybe hit some step back jumpers and things like that, I think you're going to see Porzingis' game take that next level, and it's going to be really great to watch to see, you know, this 19-year-old rookie really develop over the next few years.
So, what was your impressions in seeing the matchup between Kristaps and Kelly Olynyk going, you know, one-on-one from time to time? I really liked what I was seeing. I don't know about y'all, and if the Boston Celtics continue to develop and build up Kelly Olynyk, like I said, I think Olynyk is a Celtic guy. I think, you know, his game has so much room for improvement. A 7-foot guy that can shoot long range. He has some fluid mobility, definitely not at the defensive level that Kristaps already comes in with his game. But I think he can definitely be a building block for the Celtics team. To see these two guys play against each other, I would love to see this for game, you know, as far as part of the future, so to speak. And hopefully that would be the intention for the Boston Celtics. I know it's definitely the intention for the New York Knicks in keeping Kristaps Porzingis. But what were your thoughts about seeing these guys match up with each other? You know, normally big on big is usually a recipe for slow watching, just kill me slowly NBA TV. But I like what I saw tonight when those two guys matched up with each other.
Yeah, I liked it too. I think Olynyk, as you alluded to a little bit earlier, he was aggressive when especially when matched up with Porzingis. There was one specific play I remember. You know, he took Porzingis off the dribble and hit a reverse layup with Lopez coming over to try to give some help defense. And, you know, again, you just want to see that type of skill set. And again, they're two new school, if you will, generation guys in the NBA in terms of bigs who can play make a little bit, but definitely who can shoot it and can get to the rim and play both sides of the basketball. So it's a great matchup to see when you see these two guys going at it like that. And hopefully Olynyk can continue to develop his game as well as Porzingis. And this is something that you'll probably see in the Atlantic Division for years to come. As you say, you know, not to say that the Knicks and Celtics aren't, again, they're not a rivalry per se, but they will play each other on a regular basis. And I think you're going to see a lot of Olynyk versus Porzingis in the future.
Well, the New York Knicks once again give up a bad loss, to the Boston Celtics tonight, who, again, they did not wow us offensively, but defensively, they put the clamps on the New York Knicks when they needed to. And even though the New York Knicks at one point was down by as many as 15, you can never count out this New York Knicks team when they've got Carmelo Anthony on the basketball court. 29 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 11 for 26 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3. And again, you know, he is that guy, and Derek Fisher knows this, Phil Jackson knows this, New York Knicks fans know this, and even the Celtics faithful knew this. Jay Crowder knew it too, but he turned him into Crowder Chowder, making all of those 29 points very tough for him to get on the TD Garden basketball court. You're tuned to the CLNS postgame show. Cal Lee, Warren Shaw of the Baseline NBA podcast, talking about how the Celtics pull out another victory, making it 4 in a row, upping themselves to 18 wins for the season, and are second place in the Atlantic Division, very closely behind the Toronto Raptors, who they themselves have a nice little win streak going. And again, impressive basketball play by the Boston Celtics this evening and over the last 2 days. CLNS Radio, for over 7 years, has been offering you free exclusive content on your favorite sports teams. And in 2015-2016, CLNS Radio is celebrating the anticipation of our 5 millionth listener, due in January of 2016. To usher in the new NFL, NHL, NBA season, CLNS has its biggest giveaway plans to date. And with free mobile app release in Android and iOS app markets, the CLNSradio.com website is optimized to be lightning fast. Our equipment upgrades and more premium HD, exclusive locker room content at TD Garden. We need your help, so we want you to show your support for CLNS Radio, the staff and volunteer writers, podcast hosts. Go to www.clnsradio.com/patrons. Please give your donations and keep CLNS free. We give you free stuff, but more importantly, we give you the goods discussing everything you need to know covering Boston sports. So please go to www.clnsradio.com/patrons. Any kind of donation, any generosity towards helping CLNS Radio continue to broadcasting and giving you exclusive coverage of all of the Boston sports teams, including your Boston Celtics, who came away with an impressive victory tonight, is greatly appreciated. Shaw, you know, the whole scope about tonight's victory is really how this Celtics team maintained their poise and walked away in a back-to-back with two wins. Not 1-1, not 0-2, but two wins. What do you think has impressed you? Again, this Knicks team, they're not a 500 team, but they're a quality basketball team. They're not the Knicks of last year. And the Pistons, definitely overachieving and definitely considered a legitimate team when you have two legitimate basketball players in Reggie Jackson and that man-child that they call Andre Drummond. And this tonight, Shaw, was, again, two back-to-back games in which the Boston Celtics front court was actually the smaller front court in the matchups between the Pistons and the Celtics. And the Celtics figured out a way, found a way to walk away with two victories, not 1-0.
Yeah, the one of the things, I don't have the stat in front of me, but I know I've seen it and heard it multiple times, that the Celtics have one of the better records on the second game of back-to-backs for whatever reason. They just seem to have a better focus than a lot of teams out there when it comes to that. And yeah, early on, they were getting, you know, bullied, I think, in the first quarter and a half, if you will, on the offensive glass versus the Knicks. You know, they were getting a lot of second-chance points, or giving up a lot of second-chance points in New York, but they were able to kind of stymie that, if you will. And when they locked in defensively, that's why they are one of the great offensive teams out there in terms of pace, because they're limiting possessions for the most part, and they're getting some steals out there, and then they're able to get on a run on the break. And that's how they're beating some of these bigger teams out there, because they're getting shot where neutralizing some of the other teams' bigs, because they're not able to kind of keep up with the pace that the Celtics are playing with at times. And I think you saw a little bit of that tonight, especially last night versus the Detroit Pistons, but even some tonight versus the New York Knicks. And, you know, there's no excuses. You know what I mean? Both teams that were coming off a back-to-back, so, you know, both teams should have had tired legs, if you will. But Boston just seems to have that better focus, if you will, on the second night of these things, and they were able to kind of instill their will after getting battled on the board to begin the game, and really just kind of figured things out from there. And, you know, once their shots started falling, especially, and got some great play from their bench unit as well, it was kind of, I want to say smooth sailing, but, you know, they did, you know, get the W when it all came down to it. I know the Knicks cut the lead down to 5 in the fourth quarter. It made things a little bit hairy down there at the stretch, but Isaiah, I think, had a personal 4-0 run that got them back to the 9-point lead. You know, and the Celtics, you know, kind of took things away from there.
Yeah, one of the things, though, Shaw, that I think really kind of concerns me is the Celtics' inability to shoot the free throw consistently. Tonight, 20 of 29 and 69%. And, look, those are points that you're leaving on the floor for the opposition, you know, to either make it that much closer, to make the game that much tougher for you. And I think the other thing as well, too, Shaw, is, you know, sometimes, and we don't often talk about it, we've had it on our podcast, you know, the psychology of the game. We've had certain, you know, we've had guests come on board who, you know, have given us insight on just even the slightest of trends of things that you don't do well or you don't do consistently enough can have an adverse effect on your ability to approach the game and how you strategize for the game. And in most cases, you know, a team like the Golden State Warriors, for example, they can get away with not shooting at the free throw line at a high percentage because they shoot the basketball at such a high, you know, at a high percentage. And in this case, though, the Boston Celtics doesn't have that luxury. While they, you know, clearly they have increased pace and they put up a lot of shots. The idea here is, though, you want to be rewarded for your effort of the shots that you're putting up, whether it's more on how you approach the game offensively, defensively, or your ability to get to the free throw line. Tonight, The Celtics got to the free throw line 29 times and was only able to make 20 free throws. And, you know, this has not been the first time that we've kind of talked about this with the Celtics' inability to hit the free throws at a higher percentage. But in games where I think it's going to be necessary, I would hate to be the one to have to look at this and say this is becoming a troubling trend.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you know, it is a difference between, you know, winning and losing many, many times, especially in close games. And again, this is a team that wants to make the playoffs and wants to be a contender out there. That's something that they are going to have to shore up and make sure that their quality guys are getting the shots and making them and converting them on a regular basis. So yeah, that's something that they definitely will have to work on. Isaiah, you know, one of the league leaders, if you will, even he missed two tonight. You know, still shot 8 of 10, which obviously isn't bad by such an imagination. But you know, I mean, he's up over near 90%, if you will. And to see he even saw him miss two at a time when the Knicks were trying to make a run, that was a little concerning in that moment too. So definitely, this is a team that can be better at that. Olynyk missed two. I think he was 2 of 4. Crowder was 3 of 5 as well. Sollinger, he often struggles from the line too. He's 1 of 2. But this is something that is easy for them to figure out if they just, you know, put in that little bit of extra practice and that focus on a regular basis, and it'll make sure some of the guys that definitely need to be taking the free throws are shooting them on a regular basis.
And, you know, Shaw, one of the reasons why I kind of brought this up is, and again, this to me is about, you know, Jared Sollinger and when, you know, I've seen him play, when I've seen Jared Sollinger be fully involved in the game, it's when he is in and out, when he is, you know, kind of imposing his will down in the blocks, and then he's pulling his defender out over by the perimeter, even beyond by 3-point, respecting the fact that Jared Sollinger will shoot that shot and will even make that shot. But tonight, 1 of 9 in field goal attempts, 1 of 9 field goals made field goal attempts, and it just felt like he wasn't completely in the flow offensively for the Celtics. I felt like maybe part of it was because of the fact that he just did not find himself down there and really establishing himself in the post, giving himself opportunities to get some shots, and if anything, get to the free throw line. I tend to look at free throw attempts and field goal attempts as a ratio, so to speak, that if you're a big, you need to have somewhat of a balance there. You know, people love what Andre Drummond does, and they frown upon the fact that he shoots the free throws, but guess what? One day when he actually makes free throws, those 22-22 stats is going to look like 32-22 stats. And to me, I think Sollinger can easily do that tonight, 3 points, 6 rebounds. But I think he hurt himself by not being aggressive enough down in the blocks, forcing the Knicks to foul, giving himself an opportunity to get to the free throw line. He only had 2 free throw attempts, and I think that he could have gotten himself plenty of attempts on some tired front court legs of the New York Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was a matter of him not feeling like he had the matchup advantage. You know, when it came to that, you know, Porzingis is a long, lengthy guy, and I think Lopez was matched up on him a couple of times as well, too. And maybe he didn't feel like he had the girth and the strength to back on Lopez, who is a strong guy and a capable post defender, if you will. So I think Sollinger took what was given to him as well. And again, I can't remember the shots he had in the post. I do. What I remember him missing was definitely some open jumpers, but they were good looks, if you will. You know, 18 to 20 feet, you know, not really shooting the three as much as he has been previously. And they were good looks, but they were way off. You know, the two I remember specifically were like from the top of the key. One, I think he airballed, and then one he hit like the side of the backboard. And I remember they even, you know, they kind of flashed at his father a little bit, and his father was very upset at that shot connection. And Sollinger was biting his jersey as he's going back down, kind of almost an embarrassment, if you will. So I think it was just an off night for Jared Sollinger. But I think, and a lot of it had to do with the matchup in terms of him being on the outside a little bit. But you're 100% correct. He's much, much better when he establishes himself down low at first, tries to get going, you know, get some baskets down low. And then if he does get fouled, he has a nice touch. He should be a better free throw shooter than he is. And I like to see him do that on a more regular basis. But again, I think tonight was more about matches where you see him kind of floating back out to the perimeter as opposed to being down low where we'd like to see him more often.
But do you think, Shaw, that part of it is what's affecting Jared Sollinger to put more emphasis on having a better perimeter game is because of his apprehension to want to get fouled, to actually have to go to the free throw line because his free throw numbers or percentages has somewhat suffered this year? I know that there's plenty of basketball players who they want to establish themselves, you know, obviously not to get hacked and to get, their careers, I don't want to say careers, but, you know, basically their career expectancy to be shortened because their whole game is predicated in playing in the blocks and beating themselves up down low. But for someone like Jared Sullinger, who knows how to dish the punishment as equally as he can take the punishment, I just tend to feel like there's a level of apprehension there from him from time to time where he really could establish himself if he really wants to. Listen, it's not like Kristaps Porzingis is Shaquille O'Neal. He's 7'3 of bones, okay? He could back him down if he wanted to once he has a matchup like that with Kristaps. And, you know, Robin Lopez, you know, he's a little bit more grounded, a little bit more, but you can still get Robin Lopez to foul. They had Kylo Quinn out on the basketball court to dispel some minutes. And as solid as a contributor he is, I think Jared Sullinger from time to time could have exposed Kyle O'Quinn. So, to me, I just think that there's so much to Jared's game when he realizes that he can actually do more damage down low than his propensity to always pull his game to the perimeter and depend on the perimeter shot. And I'm just wondering if whether or not it's that hesitance that he doesn't want to go to the free throw line to shoot the free throws.
I mean, that could very well be it. You know, you've seen that with former Celtics players, i.e. Rajon Rondo, where he was definitely trying not to get into the lane and not trying to get, you know, be put on the free throw line. I don't know if Sullinger is struggling with that, you know, that mentality right now, and that's something that I'd, you know, love to get Jared Weiss on the line and ask him if he feels like Sullinger is avoiding, you know, the contact, if you will, down low to not shoot as many free throws. I'm only shooting 58% right now on the season, which is, again, is pretty brutal considering the touch that he has. Again, he has a great form, and it seems like he should be a much better overall shooter, not even just free throw shooter, than he showed this far in his NBA career. But after a rough start, you know, we saw Sullinger play very well for a good stretch of games where he was double-doubling and really contributing on especially on the glass. And in the points category, now we've seen him regress a little bit and start to fall back a little bit. And I don't know if that's because Amir is back too and everything like that, but we hope that Sullinger isn't going to regress back to the non-productive Sullinger that we've seen at times so far in his Boston career.
Yeah, man, the Boston Celtics, again, impressive victory tonight, even without great contributions for Jared Sullinger, who's been a solid player. I'm not trying to, you know, to hammer on the guy or anything like that. I think it gnaws at me a little bit because I see so much that can come from his game and how this can actually help the Celtics be an even better basketball team, especially on nights like in a back-to-back where we've talked about it, Shaw. The dependency for your play creators, your playmakers, you know, at times when they don't have it, it's great when you can rely on that next guy to come in and make the shots, to set the tone. And I get it. Tonight we got some great contributions from Avery Bradley, got great contributions from Kelly Olynyk, got great contributions from Evan Turner before Isaiah Thomas kind of rounded into form. And Jay Crowder, you know, was obviously a constant, help in getting us those points and stuff. But on nights where, you know, we want to make sure that we're clicking, and you got a guy like Jared Sullinger who's got the kind of touch, and you've talked about it at times, so many times, Shaw, he's got that kind of touch that just equals easy 12 points, 8 rebounds, a couple of assists. To me, it's just hard for me to fathom how that does not translate on a night-in, night-out basis with the quality play that we can get from a Jared Sullinger. Shaw, one of the things that we talk about with this Celtics team is, can they continue the momentum? 4-game winning streak, 18 wins thus far this year, clearly at a pace much faster for them than what they were able to do the first half of last season. And on December the 30th, they now are going to host what's probably going to be the last time that the Mamba, rumbles in the TD Garden. Clearly one of the most hated players of our generation, but one of the most respected players of our generation. The man who kept us from getting 2 championships in being hoisted during the Doc Rivers era. But when I think about this game, this is 2 completely different basketball teams, and this is a game where the Boston Celtics should really look to be aggressive, to be able to show that they are the future moving forward, no matter what the Lakers try to do for themselves for this year, next year, and whatever the Black Mamba wants to write the script at home on. To me, this is about the Boston Celtics getting 5 straight victories and having that 19th win when the Lakers come into town.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. You know, a loss to the Lakers is, at this point, is almost
almost as bad as losing to Philadelphia 76ers. You know, they're just not a good basketball team, and, you know, it's just basically turned into Kobe's farewell tour, which is fine and good. You need to pay homage to the guy for what he's been able to do for the game, and I respect all of that, but don't come into TD Garden, you know, you know, trying to get whatever it is, I think their fifth win of the year. Like, that can't be happening. Boston needs to make sure they don't sleep, don't get kind of, you know, caught up into the hype of Kobe's farewell tour, if you will, and not let him have a big game where he can really affect the outcome and get a Lakers win in Boston. Don't want to see that happen at all. There's still a rivalry here. There's still basketball to be played. And, you know, again, we can pay homage to what Kobe's been able to do without having to take an L as a result. So definitely – fifth straight win should be coming this week against the Lakers in Boston. And then they also going to have to take the Brooklyn Nets right after that, you know, home and home. They owe the Brooklyn Nets some payback after that, you know, after that drubbing the Celtics had, you know, last time they played them in Brooklyn. And obviously you want to keep the Nets down as much as possible because we need that draft pick, brother. So we need to get the Nets, you know, mounting up the losses as well, just as well as the Lakers.
Yeah. I'm completely there with you. But you know what, Shaw? This is a good stretch of games for the Boston Celtics, for them to continue to capitalize all of what they've been able to do over the last four so far. And, I mean, when you look at where the Celtics have been and where this win streak has gotten them to, again, this is a favorable schedule for them to really run off a good number of wins and really kind of sparse out where they stand, not only in their division, but also in the Eastern Conference playoff picture. You know, again, we talk about how this Eastern Conference is a much improved basketball team. And we had talked, and one of the things that's interesting is that when I looked at the teams last season, teams like the Milwaukee Bucks, teams like the Toronto Raptors, while those two teams were struggling, all it took was them to get a signature win streak. Not just a signature win, but a signature win streak. And very quickly, they distance themselves from the pack of other teams. And that, to me, is part of the key with this Celtics team. Here you have a great opportunity after winning against the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Charlotte Hornets, the Detroit Pistons, and tonight against the New York Knicks, They've got the Lakers, the Brooklyn Nets twice, and then again the Detroit Pistons, and then the Chicago Bulls. So just before then, this is an opportunity for the Celtics to possibly get eight wins together, an eight-game win streak going in against one of the better teams, that being the Chicago Bulls. We know that the Detroit Pistons are a good basketball team, but I feel like the Celtics are as equally good to the Pistons, if not better than them. And so if they can get these four victories now with an eight-game winning streak, then going into Chicago, you have to feel good about the Celtics' chances knocking off Fred Hoiberg, Jimmy Butler and company, and even getting themselves a ninth straight victory, but more importantly, putting themselves in really great position in that Eastern Conference picture.
Yeah, I mean, again, you don't want to look too far ahead, but, you know, this is a stretch where you definitely see them being able to rack up the wins, if you will, and improve their standing in the Eastern Conference on a whole, and then beat some of the teams that they definitely need to be ahead of, you know, in terms of, like, especially the improved Detroit Pistons. So, you know, I look forward for this next stretch of games to be huge for them. They have, again, you mentioned the Bulls coming up after those times, and then you have the Memphis Grizzlies who've been struggling, but they've traditionally given Boston fits over the last few years. It'd be nice to kind of get some retribution against them and then play the Knicks again. So lots to think about in the next, you know, 2 weeks, if you will, for the Boston Celtics. Hopefully they can get, you know, get a couple wins under their belt and continue this good stretch, if you will, and then see how far they can ascend in the Eastern Conference because, you know, at this point, it really does seem like they can be a legitimate contender and can at least compete for home court advantage at some point in the Eastern Conference, and that's not something that I thought we'd be saying. So listen, I'm not saying they're going to be a top two or three team, but they have a chance of potentially getting a four seed right now, you know, 32 games into the season. So again, don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I do like where this is going right now, and hopefully Boston can, you know, definitely pad their wins with this next stretch of games coming up.
Shaw, real quick, because I'm getting word that Jared Weiss is going to be joining us here for a quick moment to talk about what he was able to pull from out of the Celtics locker room. And so the Garden Report, Celtics locker room report via through Grandstand will definitely take place tonight. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you real quick, Shaw, is What do you think it would mean to know that the Atlantic Division would arguably have two basketball teams with impressive records enough to actually have possible home field advantage in a first round playoff matchup?
Well, I mean that's a stretch. You know, I can't imagine that that's going to happen with Toronto and maybe Boston happening. You know, that would really be a stretch, and some other teams would have to take a dive in some of the other conferences. Right now, Boston's playing about even with teams like Miami and Orlando as they continue to get their wins on as well, and everyone's going to be in the hunt for this thing. So really, like I said, it's going to be about matchups when it all comes down to it. But again, don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves and talking about playoffs, but it is something that's very interesting to think about in the grand scale of things, because I was one of those people who definitely thought Celtics were, you know, definitely going to be fighting for an 8th seed, maybe a 7th seed this year, but things seem to be turning up right now, trending in the direction for the positive for Boston, and they can keep this up. You know, who knows what we could be talking about in terms of getting home court advantage, if you will, going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I know I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but what I guess I'm looking at is the legitimacy of the Atlantic Division again. And if the Toronto Raptors continue to be a strong, you know, basketball team, you know, right now they're not healthy, but they're expecting to get a couple of guys back. I know we mentioned that on our show, the Baseline NBA podcast, and, you know, in our coast-to-coast coverage. You know, this Toronto Raptors team is a strong basketball team. They're not championship caliber, but they're a strong basketball team that Dwayne Casey has had the ability to see some of their players improve over the last couple of seasons. We'll see if whether or not the chemistry that he's gotten with DeMar Carroll, Valanciunas, DeRozan, and Lowry and company is going to equate to them getting out of the first round of the playoffs. You look at this Celtics team, again, the chemistry, the build of what Brad Stevens has been able to do with the talent that has been given to him, and whether or not Danny Ainge may make some moves and what this team is capable of doing as they continue to move forward. And I guess it lends back again to what we were talking about before, Shaw, about the fact that, you know, hey, this chemistry, it means something, and it could bode well for this Celtics team moving forward. We got our man, Jared Weiss, who is now finally joining on with us here via through the Grandstand app for the Celtics Locker Room Report. Jared, man, thanks for giving us a call.
What's up, guys?
How's everything going, man?
Good. It was definitely one of the more boring games of the season, and then turned into somewhat of a contest at the end. But Isaiah Thomas was still able to bury it at the end.
Jared, man, one quick question, I think, and it's what we were kind of getting a feel for is, what were your impressions tonight of Marcus Smart returning back from that, you know, from his injury and the limitation in minutes? You know, what were your impressions about what he was able to do for the Celtics tonight?
I mean, obviously he looked very, very raw. The guy is not nearly in game shape yet, but he made some nice plays. He had that three in the fourth quarter that was pretty crucial. He still was getting kind of turnstiled a lot on defense. Both, I would say, him and Jay Crowder, while they're really great on-ball defenders, they're still learning how to be off-ball defenders, and both of them sometimes get caught when they're helping. That happened to Marcus a couple times tonight. There was one play where Langston Galloway was able to blow by him, and usually Marcus, I think, would have the explosiveness to kind of turn around and catch up to him on that play, but he just kind of helplessly waved at him as he went by. So that's the kind of stuff that I think is going to kind of dissipate as Marcus gets in a better shape.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, Jared, was, you know, the play of the bench again, Kelly Olynyk with another strong performance off the bench, Evan Turner as well. Kind of talk about what you've seen from both of these guys in the last few games and how they've been able to be consistent coming off that bench and accepting their roles.
Kelly's having a really good stretch, and it seems to be that Kelly plays pretty well no matter what part of the roster he's playing in, whether he's the second big off the bench or he's the focal point of the starting lineup. He seems to play pretty well. I think most of that is that he's finally found a rhythm with his three-point shot. He's kind of tightened up his shot now. It's more of a lower line drive, but he's hitting it a lot more consistently. Although I really think it's the man bun is when he really plays well. When he's got all that luscious hair tied up in a tight bun, he seems to have less distractions, and he plays a lot better. You know, tonight was a tough game. I mean, Porzingis, while the numbers weren't, like, efficient, the guy is unbelievably good. He's already one of the best offensive players to watch in the entire league at this point. It's incredible. And I thought Kelly did a pretty solid job on him when he was covering him.
Jared Weiss joining us here via the Grandstand app, the Grandstand Celtics Locker Room Report. Real quick, Jared, before we have to let you go here, you know, December 30th, the Black Mamba returns to the Celtics court, probably most likely for the last time. What's the air and the feeling like? And what are memories and thoughts that you're going to have in your mind now that the Mamba is going to finally set foot final time for the TD Garden to wreak havoc?
There were some good lines tonight, actually, from a few of the players. I know Isaiah Thomas said that it's going to really suck when the Black Mamba is no longer in the league. But he said at the same time, you know that if the situation was the other way around, that Kobe would not care at all if it was your last game. He would still go right at your throat. Jay Crowder said that it's going to be a pretty huge deal because he grew up watching Kobe, and Kobe's been the best player of his entire era. So yeah, a lot of these guys grew up on Kobe, especially the guys, like the younger guys early in their career. I mean, they were like 6 years old or even younger when Kobe made his debut. By the time that he was a star, they were in elementary school. So for a lot of guys you've seen so many guys in the NBA when they get to see Kobe this year, they've like started like asking for autographs and stuff like that. The Celtics don't seem like the kind of team that would be doing stuff like that. That's more of the Sixers thing, but everybody I think is pretty excited to be there, really, because they want to try to shut down Kobe for it's their one last chance to try to do something effective against Kobe.
Yeah, man. Jared, man, we appreciate you hopping on for a few moments, giving us the Grandstand Celtics Locker Room Report, man. And, listen, we can't wait to hear from you and chiming in and reporting to us on Wednesday when the Black Mamba returns to the Garden for the final time.
Yeah, there'll be lots of good quotes then, so definitely stay tuned.
All right, awesome stuff. Thanks again, Jared.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Shaw. I mean, look, man. There you have it. Black Mamba returns one last time. Celtics, I'm sure, is going to be more concentrated on getting the win. But that's what we want. We want that more than anything else is to actually, take that victory, leave a little bit of a sour taste for Kobe Bryant, you know, that he couldn't actually do the Celtics in one last time.
Yeah, man. Like I said. I don't want to see that guy coming in and, you know, putting on a performance to help the Lakers get a win, this part of the season right now. Boston needs to continue that vibe, get their fifth straight W, and send Kobe back, you know, on to wherever they're playing next after that with another L in his bag. I don't even care if he plays well, as long as the Lakers do not get that win, because that, to me, would set back the four straight wins that the Boston Celtics have earned, you know, over this last little stretch here, too. So definitely looking forward to that game. I will definitely be tuned in, and I'm sure our colleagues will have another great post-game show following that Celtics-Lakers game on Wednesday.
Yeah, well, we hope everyone else is going to be tuned in as well, too. Wednesday, December the 30th, 7:30 p.m. tip-off time, the Boston Celtics will take on the Los Angeles Lakers at the TD Garden, Mamba's last game. Be sure to tune in to CLNS Radio for the post-game show. That should take place about 10:30. We'll definitely have some great guests on. And, Shaw, once again, man, it's really been awesome. I think it's been very flattering that we are taking the second-to-last game of the regular of the 2015 Boston Celtics season before we usher in the new one. You're my brother. We do it well on the Baseline NBA podcast, but I think we do a pretty good job on the CLNS Radio postgame show.
Always great to be with you, my friend, my brother, and always great to be back on CLNS representing the Celtics here on their postgame show. Kudos to those guys for allowing us to continue to, you know, be a part of the great things that they're doing here on this network and, you know, to kind of show our Celtics fandom that we can't always show on our show, the NBA Baseline. So it's been a great pleasure as well, and I hope everybody enjoys the rest of their 2015. And as always, go green, go Celtics.
Definitely, man. And in case you missed the show today, we will definitely have this show posted up. CLNS Radio will do their thing and get it up there for you guys to take a listen to. Once again, the Boston Celtics defeat the New York Knicks 100-91. Four-game winning streak for the Boston Celtics. They are doing it lovely. 18th win of the season, second in the Atlantic Division. For CLNS Radio, Cal Lee, Warren Shaw, we appreciate you. We'll catch up with you Wednesday when the Celtics take on the Lakers.